Well, we have finished our last series, From Brokenness to Breakthrough. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you missed it, go back, check that out on our YouTube, on our Facebook. But tonight, we're going to jump into a new series, and it's called Anchored. And what we want to talk about is standing firm in a shifting culture, right? Because if there's anything that can be true now, it's that truth just seems to always change, right? And culture seems to shift. And as a people, right, as Christians, as we're trying to identify what's right and what's true, especially early on in our walk, it's so important to know how to navigate life. And so we're going to spend a few weeks unpacking this. And I wanted to start with this simple but powerful truth. And it's, in a world constantly shifting, God's word remains the same. Culture changes, opinions change. What's true today might be challenged tomorrow, right? That's kind of the world we are in. I know growing up, I remember a day when Pluto was a planet, right? And then and apparently that's not true anymore. And then I remember learning one time that camel's humps don't actually contain water. You know, I used to think it was like a 5-gallon bucket on their back, and then turns out that's a lie. And then, I mean, as we just kind of age and we get older, we realize that things that we once believed or once thought is totally different. Or maybe it is truth, but you seem like the only person in the world that realizes it's truth, and you're surrounded by 99 other people that want to challenge you. And you're like, no, this is a real thing, right? And that's kind of how it is. And so that's just what the world is today. It reminded me of, we went down to the Gulf this past summer for vacation. I remember just standing there on the beach, and the waves were lapping, and I'm talking. And what happened is, one, I began to sink, right? And because the foundation underneath me, that sand, every time the water hit it, it would shift it. It would move it. And as I'm standing there, not even paying attention, I was in conversations with my kids or watching something they were do. All of a sudden, I'd sunk up into my shins without even really realizing that. That's the world today, right? It seems like in a moment, in an instant, everything's changed. And what you thought was a solid foundation underneath you, what you thought was stability, what you thought was truth, in a second seems to be gone. And everybody wants to make you think that you're crazy. And so how do we deal with this? How do we navigate that? Because that's life sometimes. It's like we're standing on a ground that refuses to stay still. Culture shifts, ideas shift, morality, identity, truth, they seem to be changing with every passing moment. But here's the good news. We don't have to be swept away. We don't have to be subjected to these types of things, right? That there's something that's been given to us that allows us to navigate these seasons in a different way. We don't have to lose our footing in the chaos because we have an anchor. We have an anchor, an unshakable, unmovable, eternal foundation. God's word, right? The truth of God's word. And it's something that we can hold on to. But we have to know how to navigate that, right? And how to kind of begin to lean into it. I know early on in my walk with him, right, there was still a lot of confusion. There was a lot of things that I'd taken from culture in terms of our faith, right, and what we believe, and still a lot of confusions. But the beautiful thing is we lean into this, there is truth, like real truth. Truth that doesn't change. The kind of truth that you can set your watch to, right? That you can live your life by. That you can raise your kids to. And that's what we kind of want to begin to unpack here. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to dive into what it means to be anchored, to be rooted in truth, unshaken by cultural pressures, courageous in standing for what's right, and focused on eternity, focused on the finish line. Like where God is leading us, because it's not just about today and it's not just about tomorrow, right? There's an end of the race that we're trying to get to. And when we get to it, we want to know that we lived our lives well, that we walked out our recovery well, that we did these things in a way that honors God. And when we get to the end, he says, well done, good and faithful servant, right? And so each message is going to challenge us. It's going to call us to hold tight to God's word and live with bold conviction and love, right? Because it's not enough to hear. It's got to be one of those things that bends us. We don't want to bend it. We want our lives to be shaped and molded by what God's called us to and the ways that he's called us to live. And so tonight, it's going to be anchored in truth. And because even the world's truth changed, God's truth does not. His word His word is one thing that remains the same. And so what I want to start us out with tonight is God's word, right? That we can be anchored in the truth of what scripture is. And so I have this passage, it's Psalms 119, 105, and it says this, your word is a lamp to guide my feet, a light for my path. And so we believe this to be a Psalm of David, but what it's saying is his word, scripture, is this thing that illuminates the way that we should go, that it does guide and direct us. And we've lived our lives outside of this, probably enough to know and to understand that when we're not connected to God's word, when we're not spending time in it, that we begin to drift, that we begin to lose our way. The darkness seems to kind of creep back in. And before we know it, we stumble and we fall. Have you ever tried to walk around at night without a flashlight? I remember this one time I was probably like 15, 16, probably higher in a kite too, but we decided to play tag, and it's just dark, I mean, stupid thing. And I remember, man, I'm running to base, and it's completely just dark as can be, and I'm about there, and all of a sudden, I'm clipped out by the knees because there's a boulder next to my buddy's driveway, and I go flying, just crack open my chin, bleeding everywhere, right? That's what it's like to live life outside of God's word and God's direction, right? You think that you're good, and you get so much confidence sometimes that you're like full steam ahead. Like, I got this. Man, I'm on cruise control. Nothing can stop me now. And all of a sudden, man, right at the knees, man, like Tonya Harding style, just cut you out, and you freaking face plant and eat it. And you're like, what the heck was that? Right? I mean, and so we want this, man, what the psalmist says, that your word is a lamp. It guides my feet. It lights my path. It allows me to see where I'm going. It allows me to avoid those obstacles, those pitfalls, right? Those things that ensnare us and entrap us time and time again. And the problem is, so oftentimes, we just don't engage with it. It's there. It's a playbook. It's a manual. It is the word of the living God, and yet we don't find time for it. I mean, we can watch Netflix, right? And we can cruise on Amazon, and we can go to the gym, and we can do all of these things, but I just don't have time. Like, you don't understand how busy I am. I mean, between my 8 hours of work, I got to spend 4 hours of that work time on Facebook, and then, you know, I got to take 13 smoke breaks and 12 bathroom breaks, and I just don't know where I'm going to fit in a little reading. It's a little outdated anyways. You know how long ago that was written? And what we need to go is like, no. Don't get clipped. Open it up, spend time in it, right? This is the thing that anchors us. Because if you don't allow God to tell you, if you don't allow God to define truth for you, you know what you're doing? You're allowing somebody else to. You're allowing somebody else to tell you. You're allowing somebody else to guide and direct you. And I'm just telling you, it doesn't work out. And it's gonna lead you to places you don't wanna be. And so again, your word is a lamp to guide my feet. It's a light for my path. Tonight, I want to challenge you to take a moment to breathe, to think about where you're anchored. What is your source of truth? Is it me? God help you if it's me. I'm just telling you, man, I try, but I'm figuring things out too. Don't take everything I say. Is it Rick? Don't do that. Right? I mean, and we need to be under people and shepherd, and that's biblical. But God's called you to just be a disciple, right? And to know and to understand and to read and to discern. No, don't listen to every popular teacher out there or just every YouTube video and take it. No, we've got to discover these things because it's about relationship and relationships, you and God. You need to begin to develop that and make that investment. And so I want to challenge you. Think about where you're anchored. Are you standing on cultural opinions that shift with every trend? Or are you rooted in God's word, which never changes? I want you to open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. If you don't have your Bibles, we'll have the notes up here, most of them. And we also have them on the YouVersion Bible app. Just a reminder, you can go to the events tab and go there. I also want to remind you guys that we're doing the weekly devotionals now. If you didn't get a paper copy, you want digital, it's on the YouVersion Bible app. Be sure to save it because at the end of the week, it disappears. But Colossians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, he wrote this book while imprisoned in Rome. And he wrote it to false teachings, false teachings that will infiltrating the church. Heresy mixed with just tradition and philosophy and these things, right? Paul was beginning to address them. And all of these things threatened biblical understanding. We see this taking place today. One of the greatest pictures of the church most of us probably grew up with comes from media, right? Movies and TV. And it's amazing how much that has impacted people's belief systems and what they think is true in terms of God. And then we have people who aren't believers, right? That are saying things, and people who have stepped away from the faith, and or people just outright have nothing to do with it. And we take all these in. You know, we've talked about in the past the stuff we pull from Instagram and that type of Instagram philosophy and stuff. And so Paul was addressing things of that kind then, right? It was different because culture was different, but all these lies begin to creep in. And so what we get is we get this mix of faith sometimes as we lack understanding, and we're throwing these other things in with it. And so we need to make sure to kind of recenter ourselves. And so Paul's addressing that. He emphasizes that Jesus Christ is fully God, fully sufficient, and the only source of true salvation and wisdom. The only source of wisdom. And that's the thing we've got to know and to understand. So anytime you hear something wise and it doesn't line up with God's word, it's not wise. It's just crap. I mean, just discard that. Get rid of it, right? We need to maintain what's true and what's right. And so Colossians 2:6, Paul says this. He says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him." I think that's so important. Because it's not just about a hand raise. It's not just about a moment. It's about a journey, right? That once you make a commitment, follow him. Like, let him lead you. He's now Lord. It's not a one and done type of thing. And so Paul says that. And then he goes on and he says, let your roots grow down into him. That's something that takes time. Right? It's not an overnight thing that if something grows, it's days and weeks and months and years, depending on what it is, right? And so he's saying, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then, say that then. Yeah. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. And so we need to understand point number one is this: deep roots in truth produce resilience, right? That it's this thing that will latch us on, because what's gonna happen is even though you've made a commitment, right? Maybe to be a Jesus follower, you've committed to be sober, love your wife, be a better dad, that at some point in some time, something's gonna come by and it's gonna rock your faith. It's gonna shake you to your core, right? It's gonna begin to mess with your theology and your belief system. And maybe you're gonna be sitting there and like thinking, man, I thought God was good. Like, why am I in this situation? And it's only if we've grounded ourselves and rooted ourselves and developed this over time that we can withstand those things, right? That has to be our foundation. Otherwise, something's gonna come and it's gonna rip you up, right? It's gonna knock you down unless those roots have really developed. And I'm just telling you, that if you look at your week, and I should have done the math, I don't know how many hours are in a week, but if you spend 1 hour, this is it, like this is all you're doing. Is that enough development to combat what the world's putting in and what the world's dishing out and what those scenarios are? I know for me, it's not. I have to bring more balance than that, right? I got to spend more waking hours with him because, man, I've got ADD, right? Man, I see a squirrel and I drift and I run off, and I've got to be centered on him daily lest I forget what he's done and what he's called me to do. And it just takes this time in his word and just being with him for these things to grow down deep, and these deep roots in truth produce resilience and allow us to withstand the things in life that we're going to face. That you're gonna face hardships, loss, sickness, confusion, hurts, violence, anger, the brokenness of this world. What's gonna keep you grounded in those moments? What's gonna keep you steadfast? What's gonna keep you from stepping back into old behaviors and old lifestyles if you haven't grounded yourself and rooted yourself in God's truth? What's gonna keep you there? Psalms 1:2-3, it says, "But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along a riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do, right? These trees that have just taken hold. That as we abide in his word, as we bask in it, this is the kind of development that God promises us. Ones that will withhold the test of life, that produce fruit over time, that remain week after week, month after month, year after year, lest we fall off. And so again, point two, deep roots in truth produce resilience. Storms will come, but those rooted in God's word will remain unshaken, unshaken. And so you're in Colossians 2, and we just finished in verse 7. I want us to look at verse 8 now. And he says this, he says, don't let anyone, say that, anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of the world rather than in Christ. And so it's interesting, right? Paul's talking about, you know, let your roots grow down deep in God and let your lives be built on them. Let your faith grow strong. But remember, he's combating these lies and these mixed theologies. And he's saying, hey, do this, but also beware. Beware of what? Idiots. People who have platforms that shouldn't, right? I mean, just because you have a social media page does not give somebody credibility, right? It doesn't mean the stuff they're putting out are things to live our lives by, right? The soccer moms you're hanging out with aren't necessarily brilliant people. I mean, it doesn't take a lot of brain cells to get knocked up or to knock somebody up, right? And so just because they had a kid doesn't mean they know everything about parenting, right? And we'll listen to all of that. But here's the thing, man, there is truth out there. A lot of people pull back. They're like, he said that. That's really offensive. I'm very offended now. Get over it. We need to discern what's around us. And that's what Paul's pointing out. Just because they crossed your path, just because they said it with their chest and confidence, doesn't mean they know what they're talking about. And unless we know what's right and what's true, we could be deceived. You know the thing about lies, the things about sin? Man, they sound good. They look great on paper. A lot of times, they bring about pleasure in our lives. And Paul's just warning us, be careful here. Be careful here, right? Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking. And he says, and from spiritual powers, right? Because sometimes the enemy will leverage the people around us to implant lies and to knock you off. And he says, don't fall into this. And so we need to remain anchored in truth because culture drifts and it distorts the truth. And over time, maybe people you love, maybe people you trust will begin to subject you to lies, begin to subject you to nonsense. So what are you going to center yourself on? You've got to be so careful about this because sometimes the most damaging things in our lives, they seem so good and so great. And so culture drifts and distorts truth. Romans 12:2, it says this, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That these things that might be so popular today, right? So prevalent that we hear all the time. Paul warns us in Romans, I mean, don't copy that. No, you lean into God. Let God do the work in you. Let God refresh and renew your mind. Let God transform you into the person he's called you to be. Culture constantly shifts, but God's truth remains constant. The world encourages us to follow our hearts, but scripture tells us, man, the heart can be deceitful. There's so much about what's going on in the world today. We have so many people with microphones, so many people with platforms, and all these philosophers and all these things out there that we do have to be so careful that we're not falling victim to what just sounds good and what sounds right. And so again, point number two, culture drifts and distorts the truth. And so evaluate, what voices are you listening to? I think that's so important, right? That I know as I was kind of growing in the things of God, that there became a time where I was unequally yoked with friends, people I'd journeyed with a long time. And that was one of the things I had to evaluate, right? Are they speaking life? Are they supporting what God's doing in my life? Or is it just more of this nonsense over there? And sometimes those decisions can be so hard. It's not easy to change the people in our lives, especially those that have been there for a long time. But we've got to be careful that we're not giving people access that don't need access anymore. And so you have to look at your life. Are you listening to voices you shouldn't be listening to? Are you allowing culture to shape your beliefs? We see this so much in the church, and I won't name any topics right now, but I'm sure you guys know, right, that God's word has been so clear, and there's an epidemic across our country of groups and organizations that still want to claim to be Christian, that want to claim to stand for truth and claim to stand for the word of God, yet they discard or ignore different aspects of what God's word says. And they lead people away and to high-sounding nonsense. I know many people that have been raised in the church, and they should know. And we begin to say, yeah, but. Ever hear that? Yeah, but. God's word says this. Yeah, but. Would a loving God really feel that way? Would a loving God do that? And it begins to, like, no, I don't think he would. You're right. We give ourselves permission. And all of a sudden, that ground beneath us, we've just sank. We didn't even realize it. Pillar, foundation, washed out from underneath us. And we compromise. We sacrifice. We don't even understand or realize the cost of those decisions until it's too late. And before we've known, man, it's just washed out from underneath us. We've drifted. How did I get so far away? I feel like I used to be able to hear him better. I used to be able to experience his presence better. I used to be able to navigate life different. What happened? It was one compromise at a time, buying into one lie at a time, that over time has just demolished this foundation of truth we're called to build our lives on. So evaluate. Voices are you listening to? Are you allowing culture to shape your beliefs? Or is God's word your primary influence? And I'm going to tell you right now, a life built on God's word is so uncomfortable. And if you're never uncomfortable in your faith, if you're never uncomfortable in your recovery journey, all of that, and it's just all honky-dory, you're probably sacrificing something somewhere. Because I know what I experienced. It hurts. It's uncomfortable. It's not appealing all the time, but it's what God's called us to. And it's better. It's better than the alternative. It's better than the alternative. And so I just want you to ask yourselves tonight, where have you noticed your cultural views shaping your beliefs more than God's word? And that's something that's carry into your week, right? To begin to ask yourself that. Where have I sacrificed? Where have I made excuses and allowances? And so again, point number two, culture drifts and distorts the truth. God's word, it's a firm foundation. You're in Colossians 2:8. We're gonna turn to 2 Timothy. And so the Apostle Paul, he wrote both of these letters, right? He wrote Colossians, he wrote 2 Timothy. He wrote this one around 66, 67 while imprisoned in Rome. And this was Paul's final letter. And so if you don't know how the New Testament is, a lot of it is what we would call epistles, right? These are letters written. Paul wrote most of them. And I think around 2/3 of our New Testament is letters written by Paul to groups of believers addressing things. In 2 Timothy was technically addressed to a man named Timothy. And this was his final letter before being executed. And so this is like his farewell letter. And so Timothy was a young pastor. He worked in Ephesus. And Paul just encourages him, want to stand firm in his faith, endure suffering, and remain faithful to preaching God's word. And so that's something that even though it was written to Timothy, we can look at that and know that that's for us too, right? Because we need to be encouraged to stand firm in our faith, right? To endure suffering, right? We oftentimes will run away from what we know to be true and right because we don't want to be uncomfortable. And just remain faithful to this call to teach others around us. And so 2 Timothy 3:16, he says this, all scripture, say that, all scripture. All scripture is inspired by God. And I'm going to stop right there. And so when we see that, all scripture, that would be the Bible that you have, right? That if you don't have one, we would love to give you one. Or maybe what you're using on the YouVersion Bible app. And so that collection of books, starting in Genesis and ending, I don't know why I'm drawing a blank here, Revelation. My mind is like, I don't know. Promise, I've read it. And so when we looked at that, right, Genesis to Revelation, all of those books, 66, that's all scripture. That's what he's talking about. And so, and he's saying it's inspired by God. Well, what does that mean? That means that men wielded the pen, right, and they wrote it, but they were indwelled, anointed by the Holy Spirit, which is God's spirit, right? And so God directed them what to say. These are God's words. And one of the things that points to the evidence of this is that when we look at this, right, that over, I think, 1,200 years of writing, these things don't contradict each other, right? There's a cohesiveness there. And that's an impossibility, that all these writers seem to have the same line of thinking, right? And that's just amazing and impossible all at the same time. And so all scripture is inspired by God. And then he goes on, and is useful. Well, what is it useful for, Paul? Tell us, right? And it's not just Paul. This is God, again, teaching us. He's saying, hey, this thing that I've gifted you with, it's more than a coaster. It's more than a coffee table ornament, right? It's not just to hold up the end of your couch where the leg broke off. It's useful for what? To teach us. It's useful to teach us what is true. Say true. To teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. That's where most of us get lost, because you're like, yeah, I can take some truth, but God, don't point out anything in my life. I don't want to hear it, right? And that's where we begin to step away, because it's like, I'm reading this and I feel bad because my life doesn't line up that way and I don't want to feel bad. I just want to be comfortable how I am. But Paul's saying, no. All scripture is inspired by God. It's useful to teach us what is true and to help us realize what is wrong in our lives, right? And we need that. You know how I need it? Because I need that like I need a mirror, right? I look at myself before I leave the house. We should do that, right? And I want to know, right? Is my hair messed up? You know, do I got something on my face? And you do too, don't you? Or at least you should, right? And we want this evaluation. And God's word, scripture, helps us to evaluate where we're at. So teaches us what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us. A loving father doesn't let his children do whatever they want, right? And for whatever reason, we forget this as adults. We don't want to know what's wrong, God. I just want to do what I want to do. And I don't want to be corrected. I mean, I'm a man. And as stupid as that is, that's how stupid it is when we argue with God and what he's called us to do. Because a loving father corrects. I don't let my kids play on the highway unless they aggravate me a little bit. Now, we correct them because we want them to be safe. We want them to experience good life, right? We want good things for them and for them to grow and mature. And that's why God's gifted us with this word, because he wants the same for us too. He wants us to have great marriages, right? He wants us to be great fathers and great mothers. He wants us to be successful in culture and for people to be able to see him in us when we work and we're diligent and we serve, right? He wants that. And when we ignore it, we're rejecting these good things that he wants for us. And then we wonder why life sucks. And it's just like when you're dealing with a teenager and you're like, and they don't know how they got in a situation. You're like, I tried to tell you everything, but you just ignored me. That's why you're in this hard situation. That's why life is so difficult. I tried to tell you. And sometimes I just imagine that's the conversation God has with me. Hey, Aaron, stupid, like, You've read it. You know what I told you. You chose different. What else do you want me to do? And I'm just like, I don't know, God. I mean, but all scripture is inspired by God. And it is useful to teach us what is true. And it corrects us when we're wrong. It teaches us. It teaches us to do what is right. God uses it, I love this part, to prepare, say that, prepare. And equip, say that, equip. His people to do every good work. It's like the equipment we need for the game. You know, last year, I jumped out of an airplane, right? Went skydiving. Now, what I was wearing was incredibly important, right? Aside from pants and underwear, you know, I needed those things, a good pair of tennis shoes. I really needed that chute on my back, right? Otherwise, it was going to be a really fast and short trip that I wasn't going to return from. And that's God's word, right? It's this equipment, this preparation, right? As we go out and face life, dangerous situations like marriage, you know, and raising teenagers, right? It's this, these things should prepare and equip us to make the journey, to walk through it. And God's given it. And so when we are anchored in truth, we need to recognize that God's word is this ultimate standard. There's nothing out there. There's no high-sounding nonsense on TikTok that's going to prepare and equip you to face the challenges in your marriage. There's not, unless it's God's word. That's the thing that we need to center our lives on, right? It's the standard. And anything that falls out of this standard, it's probably not real important. If it was, you know how I know it's important? Because if it was important, God would have wrote it down. Because he's a good father. And he wanted to prepare and equip us. And so if it's not in there, it's probably not real pertinent to the things he's called us to do, right? And so this is the standard. When we're anchored in truth, we recognize that God's word is the ultimate standard. That's the lens through which we should view everything, that we should discern every truth, everything that everybody says. And that's what it means to be anchored on a firm foundation. In a world of personal truths, scripture is our unchanging standard. It's inspired, it's reliable, and it's sufficient for every part of life. But it's up to you, right? I can get up here and I can say all sorts of things. It's up to you to take this into your everyday, to make that commitment, to spend time learning. And I know you're like, I quit learning, you know, when I got out of school, when I graduated in the 10th grade, like I was done. I was done with learning. It was a joke. That's when I dropped out. So, and you're like, that guy's a dropout? Why am I in here listening to him? Your mama didn't raise you right, I guess, man. Church down the street, that guy, he's got his diploma. You got the GED pastor here. thank Dad. Woo! Yeah. Hey, but yeah, I wasn't expecting that. But it's see, I lost my place. I don't even know what's going on anymore. So scripture is our unchanging standard. It's inspired, it's reliable, and it is sufficient for every part of life. But it is up to us. We have to commit to spend time with him. And I remember it was hard. I remember trying to read my Bible in the beginning. You know, first stepping into recovery, all of those things, and into faith. And I was like, good night, this is boring. And it's hard. And yeah, I can't read these things very well. I mean, you guys have heard me speak. It's horrible. And then over time, you know, I've learned to love it and to be more disciplined in it. But I had to work at it. You know, the truth of the matter is anything that's worth something, we've got to work at. And the same is true here. And it's an investment. And over time, man, that my love for it's grown, my understanding of it has grown. I can almost read names in there sometimes. I like the audio version. Sometimes I play the guy speaking, and so he tells me how to say stuff. And then when I get up here, I still can't say it. but we've got to spend time in it. And that's what he's saying, man. We've got to spend time meditating on it and let God's word shape our thinking and our actions. And so how often are you turning to God's word for guidance versus how often you turn to a friend? How often do you turn to God's word for guidance versus, you know, the YouTube video, the TV show, the escaping with my 600-pound life? Spend time with him and make this your anchor, your standard. As we close tonight, I want to bring it back to this simple, profound truth. Culture may shift, but God's word remains the same. We live in a world that's always changing. Opinions, trends, definitions of truth, they move just like the sand did on that shore. But God's word, it's solid ground. And the more I've centered my life on it, the more stability I have in everything I navigate. It's an anchor that holds us steady when everything else feels uncertain. So here's my challenge to you. Commit to reading and reflecting on scripture. And maybe you've never done that. Just start with something easy. I've told you guys this before. If you've never opened your Bible, read the Gospel of John and the book of Romans. Even if that's the only thing you do this year, start somewhere. Just start. Gospel of John, book of Romans, but commit to read and reflect on it. Identify and replace any cultural beliefs that contradict God's truth. Maybe you've told yourself, you've given yourself a pass. When you come across those truths in God's word, and you will, and they're going to sting, commit to replacing them. Make God's word the standard. Make God's word the standard. Anchor your life in that unchanging truth. Because the truth is, we don't drift towards God. There's no neutral here. If you're not actively pursuing him, if you think you're going to stand still, just like I sank, right? I lost my footing. That's what happens if we're not actively pursuing him, actively spending time with him. We drift towards comfort, towards culture, towards compromise. It takes intentionality to stay anchored in his word. James 1:22 reminds us, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. It's a call to action. It isn't just about hearing another message, right? It's not. Again, you should be checking the things I say to God's word. You have no idea what's going to fly out of my mouth. You go verify those things. Just keep coming back. I'm trustworthy. It's about doing something with it, taking action. So have you been drifting? I want you to do this. I want you to bow your heads. I want you to close your eyes. I have a final encouragement. You don't have to be perfect, but you just have to be anchored. Stay rooted. Stay grounded. Let God's unchanging word be the foundation you build your life on. Don't leave here tonight without resolving to be anchored in God's truth this year. Just as we sang that last song, find me here in your presence. I'm not leaving here the same. Like, just make that commitment that, God, I recognize that I haven't always been the best at this, but I want to be. And just, man, be that committed that I refuse to leave this moment, Lord, until I know that that commitment is deep inside, that I'm going to be committed to spending time with you, to be anchored in your truth. And so just right there, just make that your commitment. Decide to anchor yourself in his truth this week, this year.